you are still listening after the long ass time it takes us to record, then stay tuned because this is Fashion Fandom. I will not be losing that.
I think you should.
That's why. Hello, Alyssa. What are you drinking today?
I'm actually drinking several things this evening. Yeah. I'm drinking an excessively large mug of hot cocoa.
Yes.
And I'm also drinking a beer. Do if you're 21 and older.
Drink responsibly.
Yes.
I'm having peach Earl Grey tea.
Nice.
And it's got some fancy healthy sugar in it, like chuvia or stuvia or whatever it's called. It's not sweet and low, because apparently sweet and low gives you cancer, according to...
But did you hear that sweet and low sponsored a book?
No. How is that working?
Apparently you can sponsor books now. I was listening to the Book Riot podcast, which is kind of like my bookish, nerdish thing going on in high gear. And they were talking about it the other week. Apparently this woman wrote a book with the anticipation or with the knowledge that it was sponsored by Sweet and Low. So there's Sweet and Low sponsored like dialogue. Something along the lines of, you know, well, Sweet and Low doesn't actually give you cancer, you know. There's research that says.
Oh my gosh, so they include Sweet and Low in the book and then Sweet and Low sponsor. That is the funniest thing. Wow.
Dying.
People are taking advertising to a whole new level. That is crazy.
That's the thing, is that this is a whole new ball game because it's never really worked that way before. And I highly suggest people, if you're interested in it, go like search Sweet and Low sponsorship.
I wonder if the book's any good.
I'm not sure. It could be with advertiser written dialogue. Half of me is just dying to read it because it sounds awful.
It's like when you hear that they are turning a Harry Styles fan fiction into a real book and you wonder,
wait,
why?
Is that a real thing?
I was under the impression that it was kind of like a 50 Shades of Grey sort of bit. That's the thing now, taking fan fiction and turning it into real books.
Oh my God.
You hear these stories and you're like, what? Wait, how is that going to work? Okay. SMH.
I have a good example of how fan fiction can become a good, like, real life novel.
Okay.
Marissa Meyer. And the Lunar Chronicles. Once upon a time, Marissa Meyer was known as the fan fiction writer Alicia Blade, who wrote Sailor Moon fan fiction.
No way!
And once I figured that out, a lot of things made sense to me.
Oh my gosh, oh my God.
Her books are phenomenal.
My whole outlook just been completed. I feel like I've seen the light.
It makes so much
sense. I feel like it does. It makes so much sense. Oh, like she is literally from the moon. How did I not get that? Oh,
she's the moon princess with the evil queen.
Oh my God. Oh,
and she's
can't take it.
No. What makes it better is that she's got the super nerdy friend, right?
Okay.
Krez.
Yes.
Right? Scarlet.
Oh my God. Scarlet's the redhead. Krez is the nerdy one.
Scarlet.
Iko. Who's Iko?
The cat.
I love Iko. I hate the cat.
I love Iko.
I detest that, but still. Wow.
I'm sorry. To be fair, let's be perfectly honest. I love the Lunar Chronicles. They are my jam. This is the thing that I love. I love them. They are fantastic books.
Yes.
But well, at the same time, I know that the author wrote Sailor Moon fan fiction. And we have the Lost Moon Princess and
oh,
the
man.
Prince from Earth.
That really does make a ton of sense now. And you know, taking a downward spiral off of this Lunar Chronicles high, this whole turning fan fiction into real books is a very common thing, though. I mean, that's what happened with the Mortal Instruments as well.
Yep.
Yeah, she wrote Harry Potter fan fiction.
Bad Harry Potter fan fiction, apparently.
Yeah.
Allegedly, she
played... Much better is the Mortal Instruments.
I have my own little issues with the Mortal Instruments, but that's not the point.
That's great. A lot of people do, and I accept that.
I wanted to like it. I really did. I wanted to like them. But I couldn't get over the fact that, spoiler alert, their brother and
sister... Wait, I haven't finished... Okay, never mind.
And then, spoiler alert, wait, what book haven't you finished?
The last one.
Okay, I don't care. spoiler alert, he's not her brother. And then, spoiler alert, her brother's alive, and spoiler alert, tries to actually kiss her.
Yeah, that's creepy.
He has, Cassandra Clare has an incest thing, and I'm not down.
Yeah.
I'm not down.
I don't know. And I read these books after they all came out. I cannot imagine what it was like for the people who had to read that, like, as it grew.
What the f***?
I know, you're just like, why? Because you know it's not going to work out, but I don't know. It's a strange
concept.
But you want
it to, and it's creepy that you want it to.
Yeah, and then, I don't know. So I very much enjoyed the first three books. I'm having a problem with the last three.
I don't know. Whatever.
Four? Whatever they are. Moving on, though. It has been a very long time since we've recorded.
It has. Not
since October.
We have talked since then.
Oh, yeah. We've talked. I'm very proud. We are no longer just podcasting people. We are legit friends.
We are.
Feels like.
We text.
Yes. That equals a friendship.
It does.
Maybe we should make it Facebook official.
Ooh.
I know, it's going a bit far.
We could do that. I could be okay with that.
We'll work on that later.
Okay.
I've been having a lot of computer issues. This is not a secret. However, I had some major computer issues in the past, like, 2 or 3 weeks.
Ooh.
And only managed to get our Halloween episode posted, like, a couple days ago.
Oh.
Anyway, my point being is that I wanted to clarify a little bit about this giveaway that we're doing.
Yes, you should do that.
Because originally it was supposed to be, like, 2 weeks from, I don't know, the day that we posted about it on Tumblr, and then that turned into November 6th, and then I didn't post the episode until, like, a couple days ago. So... here's what I'm thinking. According to the calendar...
it's been, like, past 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. So I think first 2 weeks of December.
Okay.
We set a date here. December the 1st is on a Monday.
Yep.
So from December the 1st to December the
20th.
I think that's enough. That's enough time. A month and a half is plenty of time.
By December the 20th.
We should choose a winner for the giveaway.
Okay.
This gives people online, this gives people who listen to us a lot more opportunity to go and reblog and do that all over again and kind of hype that up.
Start over.
Exactly. And the thing about the giveaway is that the collector's edition came out in October, which was kind of the whole point of doing this. But since it's the holidays, we might as well just, you know, prolong it to Christmas. Why the heck not, right?
Why not?
Exactly.
I like it.
There will be two winners. Both people will receive bookmarks and the opportunity to come on the show. One of these two winners will actually receive the new Divergent Collector's Edition.
Yes.
And I suppose if you've already bought it, you could always just return the copy we give you and get your money back.
Can you do that?
Maybe. Or people can give it like as Christmas gifts. I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
It's a free book. Why the heck not, you know? So we're doing that. We'll leave a link, go to Tumblr, and reblog the post. And it's extended, obviously, so you got plenty of time.
Yeah. Alternatively, if you're not on Tumblr and you don't want to be on Tumblr, I think it would be okay to like or comment on this post on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. You could probably go to the website.
Yes.
Go to the comment on it.
And comment, and we will include in the final tally.
That's a good idea.
Twitter's a little bit harder to do for this type of thing, so please don't tweet that. Mm-hmm. Just comment on the website.
Oh, yeah.
I know that some people don't like Tumblr. I don't understand those people, but I know they don't like them.
Mm, that's true.
I accept it.
What's the word? Tolerance. It's the new trend, right?
Yeah.
All right. Just wanted to clarify a little bit on that.
Okay.
Do you think we should go ahead and get into this news? Have you heard anything in the past month or so that's been newsworthy for this in the Divergent world? I feel like not a lot has happened.
Not a lot has
except
happened.
Except for the trailer.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I haven't really been paying attention to a lot of news recently. Work has been really not kind.
Work takes up a lot of time.
November has been a not fun month.
And December's not going to be any better.
December might be a little bit better for me, but it's still kind of like...
Do you get time off for the holidays?
I do.
Aw, lucky.
Our company's very good about time off. You know what? I do have, like, some I have movie news.
What's your movie news?
So, the Jurassic Park trailer came out today.
Ooh, so tell us about that.
It's Jurassic World. I don't know. I can't tell if it's going to be like someone just decided to restart the whole situation or what, but it looks really good, and Chris Pratt looks really good in it.
And Chris Pratt.
That man. I love him so much. They decided to make a hybrid dinosaur that is a carnivore because that always turns out well.
Oh, goodness.
And as you can guess, it gets out.
No way!
I know, right? Shocking.
Spoiler
alert.
That never happens.
Not in the trailer.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the whole Jurassic Park theme.
I know.
Dinosaurs breaking out of their man-made control habitat and killing people.
I don't know. Honestly, it looks pretty good. I'm going to see it no matter what, just because I'm a dork and I love Jurassic Park.
I like Jurassic Park, too. Here's my big question, though. Is this supposed to be more sequel?
I don't know. That's my question. That's where my question is. Because I don't know if it's on the side or if it's...
Like Amazing Spider-Man-esque, where it just kind of retells it.
Yeah, I have no idea. But we'll find out, I'm sure.
Right.
Eventually, something will happen, and we will find out.
I'm a little excited about this.
I am, too.
I'm not a big Jurassic Park junkie. I know a lot of people are. But I do really, really like all of the movies, and I do go out and see them in theaters when they come out. So... I look forward to this.
Did you know that Chris Pratt in an interview on one of the Parks and Rec DVDs, he jokingly said, "And Steven Spielberg, stop calling me about Jurassic Park 4."
Oh, man.
And this is years before Jurassic Park 4 was even in the works.
That's so nuts.
He has...
So he's psychic now.
In addition to being Star-Lord and, you know, fabulous.
Chris Pratt, oh my gosh. I feel like Chris Pratt is going to be...
He's going to be huge.
I hate comparing him to, like, a Robert Pattinson or a Daniel Radcliffe kind of, you know, persona. I feel like he's going to be more like a... Ooh, you know what's a really good one?
No. Who?
Tony Stark. I can't even remember his name.
RDJ, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Robert, yeah, without the drugs, maybe.
Without the drugs and the bad past.
Yeah, we kind of like Robert Downey Jr. just for that reason.
I love
RDJ. Because he's overcome that, you know?
RDJ is kind of my boo. I love him.
And all the little kids, like, go crazy over him.
Who doesn't? So Sorry, I'm moving.
It's probably because he really is Tony Stark.
He is Tony Stark. The man.
Like, there is no fourth wall with him.
And I'm pretty sure that Chris Pratt's actually Star-Lord in his heart. Yeah. The casting for Marvel movies is obscene in its glory.
It is. It really is fantastic.
They do it so freaking well. Anyway.
TV news. A lot of the series finales are over. Like the Doctor Who finale and the Once Upon a Time finale. And
I'm so far behind on Doctor Who.
You're so what?
I'm far behind on Doctor Who.
You know what? I'm far behind on them all as well. Like, these are the two movies or two shows that I actually follow, like, on cable that I'll DVR. Everything else, I just watch online. Like, Arrow, I'm so behind on Arrow and the Mindy Project. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I've started just, I mean, I've been binge-watching shows recently on Netflix. I have, like, a whole new channel system on my TV, and I'm not used to it yet, so.
Here's the ultimate question. What do you binge-watch on Netflix?
Currently, I'm binge-watching Criminal Minds.
Okay.
Because it's part of my really bad TV problem. I watch, like, true crime shows and whatnot. It's not healthy.
Yeah. Were you, like, a, what's the one that I always, I never watched it because I was a kid when it was showing, but my mom used to watch it all the time.
CSI?
It's an alien show.
Roswell?
I can, like, picture the people in my head. Like, the guy and the girl, and the girl had red hair.
X-Files.
X-Files, that's what it was. Oh, man.
I never watched that.
You never watched X-Files?
I never did, because it was too scary when I was young, so I avoided it.
Yeah, I was really young when it came out.
I was young when it came out for the first time, and I just, it was not something that I was comfortable with watching, so I avoided it like the plague.
So we should go ahead and get onto some Divergent stuff.
Probably.
You said you haven't seen Mockingjay just yet.
I haven't seen Mockingjay yet. It is.
Oh, man.
I was not in a place where I could do that this past weekend. This week is kind of crazy. So I'm hoping that I can convince people to go see it with me.
So you plan to go on Friday?
Yes.
I went to see it twice.
Oh, wow. That is impressive.
And I can happily tell you, it's one of the slower movies. What can I say? And I feel like this is the same for every split in a final movie of a series is, you know, the part one is always the slow part, and the part two is always the battle scenes. So it's difficult to say. Even though it was slower than the other two movies, I feel like there was a lot going on, and I feel like they did a really good job explaining it. When I read Mockingjay, it was super boring. I didn't like it.
I had problems getting through Mockingjay.
Seeing PETA.
Yeah.
I didn't like it for that reason. So, did a really good job of cleaning that up, I feel.
Oh, good.
And, of course, everyone was freaking out over all the great scenes. So, I loved it.
Nice.
There is one stipulation. There is a, you know, Katniss, in the first movie, she sings to Rue. Not a very common song, not a very popular song. It's not like the little Hunger Games whistle that has become so much more iconic.
Yeah.
In this movie, she's, they're doing something, and she, one of the Avoxes asks her to sing with the Mockingjays. And so she starts singing the
hanging song?
Yes.
How is that?
She does a real good job at it.
Good. Okay, good.
No, it's a good tune. And what's cool is that she kind of sings it, the score picks up the tune, and then when the rebels try to go and do their own thing, they show like a scene of the rebels singing it too.
Nice. Okay.
Like kind of like a chanting thing. My only stipulation is I really don't want Jennifer Lawrence to turn into, like, because she sings it pretty well. Jennifer Lawrence record a soundtrack for, or record a, you know, single for the soundtrack, and then give her her music deal, and then let's try to make her sing more things, and
I don't think that's going to happen.
Not cool with that.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It's hard to explain. She just does a really good job with it. Her voice is very husky. And gives a little bit of a rasp.
Yeah.
Anyway, you'll have to let me know what you think when you go see it.
I will.
Have you at least seen the Insurgent trailer?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and talk about that then, finally. What did you think of the trailer?
It was really interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Am I the only one who's wondering what her mom is doing there?
Flashback?
I feel like everyone's wondering that. One of the girls at work said she was dreaming. Another girl said she was in a simulation.
Yeah.
She turns around. Her mom is in the house. It catches fire. It starts to float away, and she runs and jumps onto it or something like that.
Yeah.
With lots of action happening in the background.
Naturally. But, no, it was interesting. I thought it was... I mean, I was going on a... Kate's... It's not a flashback, obviously, but it's...
She doesn't have PTSD, but she does have a lot of guilt.
Yeah.
Being from abnegation and all.
Mm-hmm.
She does have a ton of guilt after the end of this book. So I feel like nightmares could be a big part of that.
Probably, yeah.
Meanwhile, I love her with the short hair.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you should go ahead and move on to chapter by chapter. We are at the final four chapters. It's the very end of the book. Trissa's mom just dies.
Like, yeah.
The Dauntless Soldiers kill her mom as they're trying to run away.
Yep.
And she's, like, all traumatized by this. Yep. So now she is running off to find her dad and Caleb in the abnegation hideout.
True, true.
Meanwhile, she's starting to feel super guilty about killing Will.
Yep.
While he was under the sim. And I feel bad for her about that. That's got to be rough.
That's got to be hard.
Yeah. I mean, he was her friend. A big friend. So, anyway. She finds her family and lets her dad and Caleb know that her mom is gone. And I love what her dad says. He says, good, she would have wanted it that way.
So, yeah.
It's a true abnegation at heart. And honestly, I feel like that's she's more of a true mom at heart. Like, anyone would kill for their kid, I feel.
Basically.
She also tells all of the, like, abnegation in the room that the Dauntless are in a simulation and that they can't, they're being controlled. So they need to go to the headquarters at Dauntless and stop this. So they're a big team who's going to go stop the whole war is made up of Triss, Caleb, her dad, and Marcus. I just can't help but think it's super funny. Why Marcus, though? Is it because he has to be in the loop?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
I mean, what's his motive, you know?
Yeah.
Marcus is very deceiving. I feel like he's just one of those people, he's got his own motives, and he just has to be in the loop. Like, he has to know what's going on at all times.
Yeah. So. I think that's definitely it. I mean,
yeah. Also, Triss hates him.
Well, I mean... Don't we all?
Yeah. We do. Really, we do.
Are we supposed to?
He's not redeeming at all. I don't think he ever is, actually.
Oh, good to know. Thank you.
Well, I'm trying to think now. I don't think he ever is, though. I don't ever remember liking him, so.
Well, that's because he's a twit.
He's our resident bad guy.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. So we move on to chapter 37, where they're off to the Dauntless compound.
Yep.
And I love that Triss gets to shine. Like, everyone else struggles. Marcus
yeah.
almost falls off the building. But she's like, you know, I got this. Let's go.
Boom.
Later time. So they're on their way, and they're sneaking around Dauntless, where they find Peter.
Who's
Ew. Not in his emulation.
He's an asshole.
Yeah. And I love her encounters with Peter, even though they're not all good. They are all super funny, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she goes up to him and she wants to pass, and he's like, yeah, you're not going to shoot me.
She shoots him, and it's a glorious...
He's like, why do people keep underestimating my character? And shoots him in the arm.
I love it. I love everything about
it. I know.
Wait, I have to find it. It makes me...
Oh, I know. I like that quote, too. So, so he's lying on the floor. And after he has no more options, he's like, look, they'll kill me if I tell you what you want to know. So either you kill me or take me with you.
Yeah.
And they decide to take him with them because they just need to get this done. This and what's the quote?
When Caleb's, when she tries to get, like, Peter to move.
Yeah.
Caleb's like, you want him to walk? Are you insane? And then my favorite. This is my favorite quote of these three chapters. Did I shoot him in the leg? No. He walks.
Which is perfect. Like, she could have shot him in the leg.
She totally could have, and she probably did that. But
she's smart about it. Like, no, he's going to move. I'm shooting him in the arm. She's the best.
He's awesome. That made
not that we promote violence or anything.
No, violence is bad. Violence is wrong.
And then, God, of all the things, they're going, they split up because they don't want to, like, hurt more numbers. So her and her dad go, and they're, you know, fighting through, and her dad's like, yeah, let me just walk out here and distract all of the Dauntless while you get by, because you are the future, and I'm your dad.
And I'm going to die to protect you. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
I know. Both of her parents in the same freaking day.
You know what the problem is?
Ridiculous. And you know what
the problem is?
What?
The problem is that they are way too abnegation for their own good.
They are. They really are. They just love their kids.
They're selfless to a core, and I want to shoot them for that reason.
But again, I feel like they're both really big leaders in their faction anyway. And they know how important this is. And I feel like they kind of know how important Triss is.
Yeah.
So, not to mention that they're parents. I mean, I don't know. It makes sense, but everyone hates it.
I don't like it.
I know, me either. What is his name, by the way? I always call him Papa Fryer. I don't know his name, though.
I don't know. I go back and look.
So, yeah, she makes it past everyone, though. And finally makes it to the control room, where she finds none other than Tobias.
Hello.
Leading us into 38. And it turns out Tobias himself isn't a simulation.
What? Shocking.
I know. Which we kind of already knew. I think Janine mentioned that already once.
I think she did.
But he's in the simulation, so he hates Triss. He thinks she's an enemy. Did you not get... I'm sorry, and I know you said you haven't seen the movie, but I, being just have seen Mockingjay and reading these chapters this week, I got a lot of PETA vibes here. Like, the enemy has taken me captive and screwed with my brain and my sense of perception, so I'm going to kill the girl that I love when I finally see her. Oh, man.
Now I need to know which one came out first.
Hunger Games, okay. I believe. Ooh, I don't know. That's the last book, though.
I don't know.
No, definitely Hunger Games. I don't know.
No, you're right. It's Hunger Games because... wait, no. Is it Hunger Games?
I know. It's like...
Goodreads.
I know.
Ah! 2008. Mockingjay came out in 2010.
Okay.
And Insurgent came out in 2011. Or Divergent.
Insurgent or Divergent?
Divergent.
Okay. So, yeah, he starts to attack her. You know, she's all trying to snap him out of it, but that doesn't work.
Nope.
Meanwhile, why is, and I wrote this, like, as a side note, but if Tobias is Divergent, why can he be controlled in the simulation? Isn't that kind of the point?
I think the point was that there was a different, they found a different serum.
To control Divergent people?
Yeah. Okay. They were testing a serum on him. But then maybe he wasn't Divergent.
Okay. Maybe it was something else?
Maybe he just didn't drink or eat the food that night.
But I guess technically he's not being controlled. He has like a reversed in his brain.
No.
I don't know what that's called.
It's like the serious version of reverse psychology.
What? Anyway, so Triss's ultimate decision is to pretend it's a fear landscape. And instead of trying to shoot him or beat the crap out of him or let Tobias beat the crap out of her, she's going to give him her gun pointed at her and say shoot me.
Because that's just such a great idea.
I know, right? I guess it's a good thing, though, because it works.
Yeah, it does.
He snaps out. Tobias wakes up because he, quote-unquote, heard her voice. And they kiss and make out for a little bit.
Aww.
Yeah, it's more of one of those, like, emotional, I can't believe we almost just died, I'm never going to leave you kind of makeouts. But still. And Tobias manages to shut down the simulation just in time.
He did.
Everyone meets back up. The team gets back together. Triss has to explain to Caleb that their dad died. So that sucks again. Caleb, you know, I mean, he lost both of his parents, too.
Yeah, and we kind of just ignore him for a while.
We do. And, by the way, Marcus is there. So
yeah.
There's a nice little reunion, fatherly son reunion between those two.
That's a surprise.
Which isn't awkward at all.
Not at all.
No. You really see how much more emotional Tobias is just because of the way he acts around his dad. That really gets to him.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he has her there to stick up for him.
Yeah.
So now the gang's all here. The station is shut down. They never actually see Janine again, so it's not as dramatic as the movie, but I think it's still a pretty good ending.
Yeah.
So the world is saved for now, and they run and get back on the train on their way down to the Amity faction.
Yep.
Because they're the peaceful ones. And, I mean, it makes sense. After Abnegation, I'd rather go to Amity in time of war. I feel like they would bring me in a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And then we have the final words of Triss and Four. And I know it's sappy, but I do really like this final scene that they have. Like, I love that they still make it kind of funny.
It's a little bit painfully sappy.
It's pretty sappy.
I mean, it's just like, I might be in love with you. I'm waiting until I'm sure to tell you, though. That's sensible. Maybe I'm already sure and I just don't want to frighten you. Then you should know better. I mean, I'm like, okay, fine.
See, in my head, it was a lot more sarcastic, though.
Yeah, it was pretty, I mean, I didn't want to go too sarcastic because he is, like, declaring his love for her.
Yeah, that's true.
It's pretty bad.
I feel like that's going to come back to bite them in the butt later. Like, it's not Facebook official or anything. That's never good news.
It's never good news when it's not Facebook official.
I mean, yeah, I mean, there's still interpretations to be made. But that is the book. But this is the ending.
Yay! We did it!
I feel like this is a very monumental step.
This is like a year.
Oh, it feels good to finally have the whole book done, though.
It does. It feels really good.
Mm-hmm. So, before we move on to our next segment, and I know that you haven't read Insurgent, do you have any thoughts on what's going to happen? Alyssa knows what's going to happen at the very end of Allegiant.
I do.
So we really can't do much there. But Insurgent is still really important, and a lot happens.
I blame Tumblr.
You blame Tumblr.
Tumblr's a great thing to blame. My theories. You want my theories?
Yes, I want your theories.
Oh, I'm going to go with nothing good happens.
Okay.
They get to Amity and hang out for a little while, and then the bad juju happens.
What's the bad juju?
I have no idea, but I feel like bad juju is going to happen.
Okay. While they're in Amity?
While they're in Amity. Because it's too peaceful to not happen that way. I mean, really, I want to know more about Caleb, and I want to know more about other people. I know that the books are, like, all about Triss, but...
then who do you want to know more about, then?
I want to see what happens to Caleb, and I want to see what happens to Christina and Peter and... You know, all of the people in Dauntless that they were able to save. I mean, I want to see Marcus get thrown off a bridge.
That's always good.
I'd like to see Peter get punched in the face a couple times.
That's a very high possibility that can happen. I'll tell you that right now.
I want Triss to not lose Christina as a friend.
Aww. you're right, because she shot Will.
Yeah.
They were kind of a thing.
They were totally a thing. It wasn't kind of a thing. It was a
They total were Facebook thing. Official.
They were Facebook official.
Aww.
They were holding hands in the hall. It was adorable.
What about Uriah?
I want everything for Uriah. I want Uriah to have a bigger part. I want Uriah to, like, I want Uriah to be my boo. Let's put it that way.
Uriah's adorable. He's everyone's boo, I think.
Uriah's my bae.
Alrighty. Well, lots of good stuff is going to happen in Insurgent, I will tell you that. Lots of funny stuff. I am pretty sure Insurgent's my favorite book.
Okay. Good to know.
I'm pretty sure. Divergent's pretty good, too. It's so hard when it comes to these trilogies.
It is.
But anyway, I'm thinking we may take a short break.
Okay.
Before we dive back into Insurgent, we may have a couple of episodes where we, like, talk about the four short stories.
Yep.
Or another book that comes out in December. New Year's is going to happen. We may have, like, a mini-sode where we just talk about, like, our New Year's challenge, like, book challenges and book ratings and stuff like that.
Okay.
I don't know. But there is a good chance that we may not start Insurgent until next year.
Yeah.
Because we really enjoyed reviewing Landline.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
And as much as we love Divergent, we love other things too.
We do.
And it's good to take a break every now and then to kind of mix it up and not get so burnt out. So
that's true.
Yeah. If you have a book in mind, preferably a single book. If you're going to do a series, you may have to make a whole episode on one series.
Yeah, that's true.
Like the Lunar Chronicles.
Do.
I don't know how we're going to do that one.
We could do that, but we've read them all.
Yeah, but there are more to come, too. So it's like...
There are more coming.
Remind me again, when does Fairest come out?
February.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that then. Moving on to our next segment. I had the idea to do, like, a Thanksgiving book tag, but... I made this one up. I did copy it off of a couple people, but I feel like these are common enough questions.
Yeah.
So we will go ahead and read them, and we'll see what should we call this? What's the hashtag on this tag, Alyssa? What do you think?
God, I don't know. Okay, well, number 9's like totally hashtag Alyssa.
I know, right? I thought about you when I put that in there. It's like, oh man. We could call it it's like Thanksgiving. We should call it the Booksgiving tag.
Ooh, I like it. Happy Booksgiving. We talked nothing about Thanksgiving until now, but whatever.
It's coming around the corner.
It is.
It's food. We love Thanksgiving. We talked about Thanksgiving last time. I feel like that counts.
Okay.
So, Alyssa.
Yes.
What do you do when you're in a book slump?
I binge watch TV.
Do you have like a go-to show?
No, I don't. I binge watch whatever show I'm currently watching. Maybe went to sleep watching Criminal Minds last night. It wasn't healthy.
I also have been watching on Netflix. I feel like TV is a good break from books as a general rule.
I think it is.
Disney movies are always a really good choice for me. However, recently I've been watching Gilmore Girls.
Nice.
I feel like everyone and their mom has been watching Gilmore Girls on Netflix, though.
Because it's there.
You know what? I had a single mom growing up, and I relate. That's all I need.
Yeah.
Question number 2. What is your favorite book-to-movie adaptation?
Really good questions.
I gotta think about this one now. Hold on.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and say Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows 1 and 2.
Really?
Yeah, I think they did a really good job of making it a complete and cohesive two-parter without being extraordinarily boring in the beginning, in the first half, and like all action in the second half. I mean, the book is massive. I will accept that. It's totally massive. And it needed to be cut in half. And unfortunately, it started the trend of cutting the last book in half.
It did.
But it was the smart move to do, and it allowed them to have a lot. It allowed them to have more detail from the book in the movie than they.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they did it. I think they just did such a good job with that movie, and it was so beautifully done, and I was happy with it. What about you?
I'm at a cross between. I really love the Hunger Games movies. I feel like they do a really good job with that one too.
Okay.
I feel like there's a very obvious one from my childhood that I should throw in there though.
Okay, what is it?
I can't remember.
Oh.
I don't know. You know what movie I also really like though?
What?
And hate on me if you will, but I'm kind of a Nicholas Sparks junkie.
Okay.
And I really thought they did a good job on The Notebook.
All right. I'm going to judge you a little bit.
That's okay.
But not too much.
That's okay.
Because I read romance novels like nobody's business.
Well, you know what? And everyone has their own secret pleasures, which is fine. But that's kind of mine. I'm the cliche Nicholas Sparks fan.
All right. That's allowed. Yeah. You're allowed to have one of those in your life.
Although I feel like if they did Anna and the French Kiss movies, they would be amazing.
Oh, I would have so many words to be said about that.
Mm.
Those would have to be done perfectly.
They'd have to be done right. But I feel like they could be. I don't know. What book did you stay up all night reading? We're talking maybe what books in your case.
Oh, God.
But like, you know, like burning in the eyes. I really need to sleep, but I really need to finish this.
You know, I did that with Crest when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I did that with the first time I read Shadow and Bone by Leigh Bardugo.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've done it with multiple Harry Potter books when they first came out. Like, I would just get them at the midnight open release and read them until the wee hours of the morning / like first light.
Right.
And what else have I done that with? I've done that with a lot of books. It's just it never ends up like I didn't mean to do it, but it happened.
I can only remember three. However, I do a lot of audiobooks and I binge listen, I guess, technically.
Okay.
So if they were in actual book format, I would count as overnight reads because I've listened to I sit there, I listen to it all day long.
Okay.
But books that I actually remember staying up all night to finish were, are you ready to judge me again?
Yep.
Twilight books.
Oh, good God.
I
just want to let you know that I'm not the one judging you for doing that to Twilight. Robert Pattinson is.
It's okay. I can live with myself. Let's see. I did that with Fangirl.
Okay.
I just remember reading that one last year. And, you know, it's so much harder to stay up all night when you're, like, an old person.
Yeah, it is.
I used to be able to do this, and now I don't. So this really says something to my character. And this book that I just finished reading, Rain, came out in November. I read through that one.
Nice.
All night long.
Good times.
So, question number four. If a book doesn't interest you, will you keep reading or simply stop?
I've done both.
You have?
I have. I have simply stopped reading books because I couldn't stand them. But at the same time, I have soldiered on. And a lot of the books that I soldiered on for were for class.
Oh, yeah.
I soldiered on for a lot of books for class. And even then, there were instances where I simply stopped. Was like, fuck it.
You just had to.
I had to. I couldn't deal with it. And I did the unthinkable for an English major.
I think I just stopped. The only book that I ever kept reading because I didn't want to, aside from like schoolwork, was Shatter Me.
I soldiered through that one.
And I didn't, it's not that I didn't want to finish it, I just didn't feel like I had to finish it. I could happily stop reading this book and not worry about that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no. There is one more. What's it called? The Pretties?
Oh, I never read those.
Oh, man. I soldiered on through that one, too.
Good for you.
Like, this is just a judgment on me day, because I will non-recommend The Uglies to people. But I have personal issues with that, and that's just me.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, I was reading these books with a friend, Cherie, actually, and she's reading The Pretties, and we're reading them, and then talking about them. We'll read a couple chapters to text about them. And I'm just like, Cherie, I haven't been reading these books. And she's like, why do you not have the time? I'm like, no, I have the time. I just don't want to finish it. I don't like it. So I never finished that series. All right. Well, this kind of goes hand in hand. Do you read multiple books or one at a time?
I read multiple books.
I can't do that.
I'm in the middle of like 3 books right now. It's bad.
I try to read multiple books, and there are 6 books on my nightstand that I are in the middle of. All 6 books I'm in the middle of, and I haven't finished them, and that's what happens when I try to read multiple books. They just sit there, and I'm like, which one do I read next? But, no, I have to read them one at a time.
Yeah. I should read them one at a time, but it doesn't end up happening that way.
I like them all. I'm just not a big multitasker. I get distracted way too easily. That's why. This is a good one. I'm excited to hear what you think. Reading in public, yes or no?
Oh, God, yes.
You love to read in public?
Frequently. Like, if I did it today. I went out to lunch. I didn't have anyone to have lunch with. I have my Nook. I pulled it out and I was reading in public. I will never not read in public.
I'm kind of like you. It's like going to the movies by yourself. I like to just go out, sit.
Yep.
You know, at a coffee shop or at a restaurant, order my meal, and then just read while I eat my meal.
Yeah.
And I want my own table, I want my own space.
Yep. People think I'm weird because I go to, because I don't mind going to dinner or like restaurants by myself. No, I don't mind it at all. I have my family's like, I don't understand how you can do this and not be uncomfortable. I'm like, okay, I don't think you understand how often I eat like by myself.
Oh.
And I'm okay with that. But I learned a long time ago that the way to deal with that and not look stupid is to have a book.
So it's kind of like a tool for you. You kind of have a book to keep you company while you by yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it still looks stupid to some people, but, you know, I'm like, whatever. I'm perfectly happy.
As long as you're happy, you're entertained, yeah.
Exactly.
People watch football while they eat, you know.
I read a book while I eat.
Good for them. The only problem I have with reading in public is when a book gets too emotional. And I want to laugh, and then I want to cry. So I'm just like, what are we doing? For instance, I'm currently reading Curtsies and Conspiracies. I'm standing in line.
Oh my God, wait, no, really?
Reading this book. And I'm cracking up so freaking hard. Like, I'm standing in line at a place, and I'm just reading. And there are people around me, but I don't care. So I'm reading this book, and I try so hard not to laugh out loud, and
it
not to snicker, and not to, like,
It is impossible.
I laughed so hard I cried up a little bit at one point.
Oh my God. I died reading those books. It was they're too fabulous for words. Waistcoats and Weaponry is phenomenal. And yet the end, you cry. I'm just warning you now.
I know, it's... Wait, I'm gonna cry at the end?
Yes.
No, don't tell me that.
So good, though. The book is so good, though.
It was,
I didn't even deal with it.
So where do you love to read, then?
I really like reading in, like, on a couch, curled up on a corner, or in bed, again, I really enjoy reading like at a restaurant table, except they keep interrupting me. That's annoying.
The problem I have is I always get my books dirty. I'm a messy eater.
Oh, see.
I really love to read in bed as well. I love, oh my God. I love like the idea of a nook, because now I can turn off the light and pretend like I'm sleeping. Actually just be reading. And it's the best. And that sounds like such a bad thing. Like, I'm 23 years old. I should not have to worry about hiding my downtime.
No.
That's what I do. I literally say I'm tired. I go to bed at 10 and I stay up for 2.5 hours reading.
It's I do that all the time.
I do that all the time. You know where else is a really good place to read?
Where?
And these are two awkward places. I'm fixing to ask you. No, you go ahead first. What's your most awkward place you read?
Okay. It's not an awkward place because people do it all the time, but this was a particularly awkward situation.
Okay.
On the train. People read on trains all the time. That's not awkward.
Yeah.
What was awkward was how into the book I got, and the people around me started judging me.
Oh my goodness.
And vocalizing their judgment. And it finally got to the point where somebody had to tell me to be quiet. I was like, okay, sorry. My bad for enjoying myself. So that's my awkward place.
Mine was, Oh, I also like to read outside, like laying down on the grass.
Yep.
That seems very kiddish. But when it's nice outside, like in the spring and in the fall, it's very, very comfortable.
I do that all the time.
But my most awkward place was, I read in the bathtub a lot. I just like the idea of being calm and to myself in the bathtub and like the heat.
Yep.
Being able to enjoy a book.
Yep.
And I'm reading an electronic device in the bathtub.
Oh, God.
Like my phone. Or like my iPad or something. I don't remember what it was. I think it was my phone. And my cousin walks in. And she looks at me and she's like, oh, you're in the bathtub. And she leaves. And then she comes back in. Like, are you reading? And I look at her and I got so embarrassed that I dropped the iPad. I did not get it in the water. But I dropped it, like, outside of the bathtub. And it fell. God. Thank God. And she looks at me, and she looks at it, and she just, like, rolls her eyes. And she's like, oh, my God, and then leaves. And it was the funniest thing. Like, I cracked up laughing so hard. It was so weird.
Oh, my God. No, I dropped a book in a bathtub once. That was awkward.
Aww. I hate getting your books wet.
It's so irritating.
Okay, we got two more questions to go, though. Alyssa, would you buy a whole series again just for the new book covers?
Hashtag Alyssa. Yes, I would, and I have.
I have yet to buy a new series just for the covers. However, I'm thinking about doing this for Harry Potter. I really, really, really like the new covers for Harry Potter.
I love the covers for Harry Potter. Like, I want the British...
I know, they're cool, aren't they?
They're very cool, but he doesn't actually... What bugs me is that Harry doesn't actually grow up in the new covers for the British, for Bloomberg. He looks like he's the same age on all covers. In the American versions, he
grows a little bit. Speaking of that, I'm fixing to add a question.
Okay.
What would you say is the prettiest cover that you've ever bought?
That's a really hard question. Do you have an answer to that? Because I don't think I do right now.
I don't remember. I'll think of the name of the book in a minute. But the reason why I like it is because I love the color scheme. There's like blue with hints of purple in the background because it's got this whole galaxy thing going on. And it's got this beautiful teal color in there. I love the colors.
Oh, you know what? I do have one. The British cover for Daniel O'Malley's The Rook, which I've talked about before. I bought that specific cover because it was really pretty. It's white and red metallics. It's really very cool. I'm very excited for the next book in the series, but...
I found it. These Broken Stars.
Oh.
It's my prettiest book cover I own. I also really like The Color of Fangirl. I think it's a cute cover.
I love The Cover of Fangirl.
Okay. Number 11. What do you drink while reading?
Everything. Right now, I have water next to my bed, which is what I drink when I go to bed. But I have a really hard time in drinking and reading or eating and reading. Like, I can't do those two things at the same time. I tend to, like, get a cup of tea or get a cup of coffee or have a drink next to me and then forget about it.
I like the feeling of being able to drink tea while I read. Like, late at night, everyone's gone to bed, I crawl in under the covers, add my tea and my coffee cups. And I have a thing with coffee cups, too, which is probably why I like it.
I mean, like, I'll have pretty much anything.
And then the final question that, you know, determines life.
Yep.
Do you prefer series, companions, or standalones?
God, I don't know, because I have so many standalones that I love, and so many series that I love, and so many companion books. I just love books. Can I have that one? Can I just say I love books?
No, you can say that. Recently, I've been really let companions a little bit more, because I find that series irritate me. I have expectations, and when my expectations aren't met, then it kind of sucks. But it's not to say that there aren't some of my favorite books are in series. And I love standalone books as well. But the thing about companion books is most of the time I read a companion without the intention of ever reading anything else again. And when I love it, I'm pleasantly surprised when another companion book comes out. And I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. I love reading this. It surprises me more. I have no attachment relationship with companion books.
That makes sense.
But I don't know. I'm like you. I love them all. It's hard to say what your favorite is. All right, so we'll go ahead and wrap up a little bit. It is getting pretty late, though. Do you have any recommendations?
I do. I'm currently reading Queen of the Tierling by Erica Johnson. And oh my god.
It's good?
It's so good. I wish that I could have had more time with it. Like, over the weekend, I had maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours tops reading it, which is really depressing for me, but it was a super busy weekend. And I wanted to read all of it. And at one point, one of the girls that I was working with, I was reading it during one of the few small breaks that I had, and I was expressing emotions. She goes, "So, Lissa, you like your book?" Like, yes, actually, I do. It's fantastic. Go away. I'm reading. So The Queen of the Tierling is about a young woman who's been sequestered away for pretty much her entire life, but has been raised to become the next queen of this country called the Tierling. Mm-hmm. Her mother was queen before her, and the country's kind of gone downhill with the region, and there's an evil queen from the next country over, and there's magic and mystery and intrigue and cool themes and really cool magic. And it's been such a roller coaster ride. And I recently just realized I was at page 320 of like 350 or something like that. And I realized that this book is probably part of a series, and I was really disappointed because I needed closure about what was going to happen, and I'm not going to get it. But I'm really excited.
Is it, like, the first book in that series, or is it, like...
It's the first book.
Okay.
How about awesome. You?
Oh, my goodness. I finished reading Rain by Shonda Hahn, and it came out earlier this month, and I was super excited. I talked about it before a little bit.
Yeah, I remember.
But it's like the fourth book in the series, and it was crazy, just a little bit. It threw me back.
Crazy in a good way?
Crazy in a good way. There was time traveling involved.
Excellent.
And time travel is always a lot of fun, so I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did reread the other books in preparation, and it just kind of stands out how much middle grade this series is. Uh-huh. But God, the storyline is just so much fun.
Cool.
And I'm also reading Kurt Season Conspiracies by Gail Carriger. She is turning into be one of my favorite authors. Like, no freaking lie. I'm so excited. I've got Solace. Once I finish this book and then the third one, I'm going to have to pick up Solace and just dive right through it because I'm starting to really, really love the way this girl writes. And, like, just the way she weaves the storyline. Steampunk is just so much fun.
I know. Isn't it wonderful?
It is.
I want to feel bad about it, but I don't. I keep getting people into it.
No, it's a lot of fun. I love it. It's just, that's just it. Sometimes there are those books that are, like, super intense and dramatic, and you, like, have all these emotions. And then there are some books that, like, make you cry or make you angry. This is just a really fun, happy book. And I don't know if it's going to, if, like, the overarching storyline is going to get super intense later.
You know, I don't think it's going to.
I don't know.
Wait, are we, I'm sorry. We're talking about Curses and Conspiracies?
Yes.
I mean, okay, it does kind of, but.
So it does get a lot more deep.
It gets a little bit deeper.
So in the second book or in the third book? Well, I will give you a full report once I'm done.
Okay.
Well, that wraps up a pretty good show, I think, Alyssa. We had a lot going on.
So that's about it for us this week. Don't forget to follow us on Tumblr, faction-fandom.
Follow us on Twitter at FFandomPodcast. Email us in at factionfandompodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to go visit us on the website at factionfandom.com. Like Alyssa said earlier, if you don't have a Tumblr and you want to get involved with our giveaway, try to comment on the post on our site. It will be under news. I can tell you.
All right.
So go out there, search it. Be sure to email in and let us know if you want us to review a certain book in particular.
Yep.
And y'all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Slash insert holiday that you celebrate here.
And don't forget to follow us personally. I'm a book blog on Tumblr, and I don't really do Twitter. I'm really bad at Twitter. Or AllieSmith86 on Twitter.
You can follow me on Tumblr at How to Train Your Fangirl. And my Twitter, I don't even know. I think it's Steph Bo Ray. Follow us on Tumblr. We're much better at Tumblr.
We're so much better at Tumblr. Do that instead.
Oh, and don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. That really does help us on the iTunes charts also. We appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
It was fun seeing you again, Alyssa.
Always fun talking with you, Steph.
Well, until next time, bye.
Bye. I was scrolling on Tumblr just now, and there was a question. Where is Jeff Goldblum? Sir, this is just the Jurassic World trailer. It's not, where is Jeff Goldblum? Where is Jeff Goldblum? Where is Jeff Goldblum? Not wrong. I want this man in every movie. And then somebody posts a picture of Jeff Goldblum when, like, after he got injured in Jurassic Park. He's like, his shirt's open, he's just laying there being like, I am the hottest shit in the world. And I'm dying.
I just found out last week that Bay stands for before anyone else.
It does.
Other some people got lazy.
I didn't.
They just didn't want to say the word babe anymore, so they started calling everyone Bay.
For the longest time, I was totally there with you on that one. Just on that topic, since we've, like, Lunar Chronicled this entire episode, if we're going to get this out before Monday, you're not going to get this out before Monday, so never mind. They sent me a bunch of swag for Ferris, and I'm hoping that that means that they're going to send me the book.
Alyssa! Oh, man.
It was so hard. Tumblr is like my go-to for when I don't want to work. Thank you.